2 Timothy 1, just put your finger there for a moment. There were two brothers who were always up to some kind of mischief, and if someone got locked in the outhouse or somebody's dog got painted green, one always knew who the culprits were, the two brothers. One day the boy's mother asked a priest to talk to her sons and put the fear of God in them so that they would mend their ways. And the priest asked her to send her sons to him and one at a time. And so when the younger boy, a lad of just 13, came to the priest made him sit. And wanting to make a point, the priest asked him, "Where is God?" And the boy sat very silent. The priest again asked in a louder voice, "Where is God?" Again, the boy remained silent. But when the priest asked a third time, "Where is God?" the boy jumped up and ran out of the church and ran away, and he went straight to his older brother. And he said, "We're in big trouble." "What's wrong?" the older boy said, wondering which of their sins had caught up with them. The younger boy said, "God is missing, and they think we have something to do with it." 2 Timothy 1, would you stand with me as we read from God's word? Verses 6 through 8. "For this reason I remind you to fan the flame, the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." You may be seated. While most of us hate to admit it, all of us fear something. Every one of us is afraid of something. I've never found a man or woman that is not afraid of something in this world. We put on a good show for others, but at some point in life, we all know fear. Some fear physical violence, while others fear verbal confrontation. Some fear failure, while others fear success. They say some men fear commitment, while others fear being alone. Some fear snakes or spiders, while others would never admit to their fear out of a fear of embarrassment. Some fear the past and what mothers might think of them, so they never share or open up what they have been through. Some men fear death while others fear living. Fear is a common thread in every person's life. I have felt it, and I know that you have felt it. It is something, again, we all experience at some point. Maybe it was on the playground at school when the bullies came for your lunch money. Or maybe it was in the midst of combat during military service. Perhaps it is fear that someone you love is going to die or leave you. Perhaps it's fear for your own life. Probably the most fear in one instant I ever felt was when I was in Uganda and there were armed men who were trying to kill me. Not sure why I was fearful, but I was, let me tell you. We live in a time of fear and fear-mongering. It is a kind of disease that weakens and disables, even paralyzes our life and our witness. Fear makes us anxious and suspicious. It negatively affects our own happiness and well-being and that of people close to us. Fear will make us withdraw and even hide from our neighbors and our community, from people who need us and who could be blessed by us. You know, there are countless things that we're told to be afraid of in this world. High cholesterol, high blood sugar, low blood sugar, taxes, new diseases and conditions, old age. What's going to happen with your 401k? Funding for Medicaid and Social Security, poverty, foreclosure, losing your job, debt, the stock market, lack of insurance, layoffs, salary cuts, guns, a lack of guns. rejection by friends, identity theft, Al-Qaeda, Muslims, refugees, gay marriage, liberals, that one, no, that one, Trump, climate change. I'm getting scared just listening to my own list. There are whole armies of marketing professionals out there, and you know what they do? They want to play on your fears. They want your money, or they want your votes in return for offering you some bit of protection from your fears. Don't believe me? Just watch the news. Every decade, they come up with something new for society to fear. In a decade, we're going to run out of oil and gas. How many of you remember that? That was like, what, 50, 60 years ago? We're entering a new ice age. In 10 years, the planet's going to freeze over. We went from that to global warming, and the Earth is heating up, and everybody's going to fry. The polar ice caps are going to melt and flood the world. How many of you remember acid rain? You would have thought from the way the news talked that we were going to go outside in the rainstorm and just melt from the acid. Milk and eggs are bad for your health. There are fear mongers, fear manipulators, fear marketers, fear campaigners in this world. And deeper than all of that is the great ancient foe of God who wants to intimidate us into retreat and silence, paralyze us with fear, to steal our joy and our freedom. And so again, we live in this culture of fear and fear mongering. They say that people are actually more fearful of public speaking than dying. Most people would rather die than have to get up in front of people like I am today and speak. Death is preferred to the act of, say, preaching or witnessing the good news of Jesus Christ to others. Maybe that is because there's something more to fear than just nerves. And so the first thing that I want you to understand this morning as I talk about fear is that fear is not simply an emotion or a reaction. Fear is a spirit. Fear is a living, breathing, thinking, active force who wants to break you down. Fear is not an it. Fear is actually a who. Who is fear? There are demonic forces, demons, who are given the job of disrupting our lives with fear, disrupting our spiritual growth in the Lord, disrupting our witness for the Lord. And this is why it's so important to overcome your fear. Now, how many of you understand there is a natural fear, and that fear is a good thing? It keeps us out of trouble sometimes. It keeps us from acting foolishly. And the Bible tells us that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. You want to know how that works? We recognize who God is. Like Dr. Jeff Myers, I'll never forget this quote, but he said, "Don't make God angry. He's the one that kills people." And not that I want to overly worry you this morning, but there's a wonderful wisdom in having this healthy fear of who God is. Now, we also understand that God is our Savior. He's our Heavenly Father. But we need to have this good fear, this good reverence for the Lord. But the fear, again, I want to talk about today is that spiritual fear that binds us in chains and keeps us from doing the things that we should be doing. The type of fear that holds us back from speaking the truth of God's word and growing up into mature Christians. Remember these statements. The Lord is on my side. I shall not fear what mortals shall do to me. Psalms 118. Do not be afraid. Have no dread or fear. The Lord your God who goes before you is the one who will fight for you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? This I know, that God is for me. In God I trust. I am not afraid. What can a mere mortal do to me? Now we need to be careful here. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but neither has he given us a spirit of recklessness. Amen? He doesn't say, go out and be irresponsible. The answer to the foolishness of fear is not the foolishness of recklessness. Many of our fears are illusionary. We are afraid of phantoms or extremely rare, unlikely, and improbable situations. I forget, and I'm probably going to mess this up, but they actually have a phobia that describes a fear of phobias. I thought, now, if that isn't the weirdest thing in the world, you're afraid of phobias. You have a phobia of phobias. But some of our fears are based on real conditions and actual threats to our lives. And we can't ignore those true threats and challenges, but at the same time, we must not allow those things to paralyze us with fear. And so what is the spirit, this entity of fear, what does it do? The spirit of fear attacks us in three very strategic areas. The first thing fear does is it saps our power or our strength. Now, I used to love to do this when I worked at the hospital. I worked nights, and the cook would come in, and I'd hide, like, in the freezer or in the storeroom, and I'd jump out at him, and I'd go, boo! And, you know, he'd always, boo! And he'd say, one of these days I'm going to punch you. And I'm like, no, you're not. No, you're not. Because whenever I jump out and say boo, you go, boo! And that's what fear does. It saps our power. It saps our strength. Fear also overrides love. When you become fearful, your only thought is what? Self-preservation. Everyone else is left to fend for themselves. When someone is fearful about a situation, I have often heard the statement, I can't worry about anybody else right now. I have to take care of me. And fear destroys a sound mind. A fearful person is also one whose mind is at best unsettled. When fear attacks, rational thought is destroyed. Everyone is out to get you, and the worst case scenarios flood your mind. And so overcoming the spirit of fear, while fear attacks at these three strategic points, it is the same three things that overcome fear. The spirit of fear disrupts sound thinking, overrides love, and saps our power, but these are the very things that must be present to overcome the spirit of fear. A sound mind. There are two things which produce a sound mind: knowledge of God's word and the spirit of God. You see, fear produces irrational thought. So to overcome fear, rational thought, truth must be elevated. We must rely on knowledge and belief. You must arm your mind with the knowledge of who God is and who you are in Him. Psalms 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, through the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. We will not fear, even if all of these things happen, because God is our refuge and our strength. Isaiah 43:1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You see, God has called you and I His own, and you are His child that He protects. And yes, sometimes He asks us to carry heavy burdens and go through trials and tribulations, but He is the one that is there with us as a refuge, as our strength through everything in life. But a sound mind also comes from the Spirit the Lord places in us. What is the spirit that He places in us? The Holy Spirit. The indwelling and working of the Holy Spirit in our lives will produce a sharp mind, a mind that sees the situation not in light of all the bad stuff, not in light of how dire things is, but in the light of the truth of God's word and in light of who he is. Many believe that we're filled with the Holy Spirit for a lot of different things, and I won't get in it or try to be funny this morning beyond what I already have. But the Holy Spirit gives us a mind that sees past the natural world and understands things in light of the reality of who the living God is. And when you understand, when you truly understand who God is, then fear should melt away. It was the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that sharpened men's minds so that they were able to write the Holy Bible, the Word of God. It was the Holy Spirit of God that took simple fishermen, lowly farmers, slaves, shepherds, educated men alike, and gave them a mind that could understand the mysteries of God and explain what could not be understood by sinful man. And with their quickened minds, they wrote the greatest words the world has ever known. And so to overcome fear, we must allow the Holy Spirit to sharpen our minds so that it is sound. Love, secondly, cast out fear. Love of oneself produces an avenue for fear to work. When your greatest thought is your own comfort and survival, fear has won the battle. But 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. How does that work? When you love someone else, you will put yourself in harm's way to protect them. How many of you would say that's true? If someone was to threaten your child with a gun, what would be the first thing that you would do, mom or dad? You would step in the way. Now, that doesn't mean that fear is not present. You're probably going to be shaking in your boots. But what does love do? It overrides the fear. It casts it out. In the same manner, many of you have been fearful to share the gospel or stand for what is right, but love for other people and love for what is holy and good will cast aside the fear and empower you to stand and to speak. And so a sound mind and perfect love produce power. This is the power that comes from God that rose up in David when he faced the giant. It's the same power with which Samson fought 1,000 men and ripped lions to pieces. It's the same power that 300 men under Gideon stood against armies. It's the same power that the disciple Andrew had looking forward to the day when he would be executed for the sake of the gospel, so that he gladly preached from his cross for 2 days until he died. These things produce the power of an Elijah that stands against the prophets of Baal and calls down fire out of heaven. It's the same power in you that was in them when you dwell in the presence of the Holy Spirit, a sound mind and a perfect love. But how many of you understand you don't start out as fearless? You become fearless. The same Peter who spoke without fear to the lame man by saying, get up and walk. The same Peter that stood before crowds of thousands on the day of Pentecost and preached and said, repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus. It's the same Peter that just a few days earlier denied the Lord 3 times in one night out of fear for his life. The same Apostle Paul who endured beatings, who preached tirelessly and endured so many trials, was the same one who said he had fear working inside of him. Elijah, who I mentioned a moment ago, who called down fire out of heaven, who stood alone against hundreds and hundreds of the prophets of Baal and Asherah. He ran in fear and hid in a cave because he believed he was all alone. Moses, the great deliverer, who faced down the king of Egypt, who was not afraid to go up to the mountain of the Lord when everyone else was terrified, was at first fearful because he stuttered. David, the slayer of giants, at one point ran and hid in a cave because he was fearful of the king. These men that we read of that did such extraordinary things were not supermen who lived without fear. These men overcame their fear by the power they received from God. Fearlessly, they performed miracles. They preached the gospel and lived lives that most of us would be envious of. You know, the early church was faced with severe persecution. Their lives were threatened and their families subject to punishment if they continued to preach the gospel of Jesus and believe upon the Lord as Messiah. In the face of that fear, in the face of that those threats, they pray what is perhaps the most significant corporate prayer the world has ever known. It was a prayer that caused the early church to explode in power and help spread the gospel to the four corners of the earth. I think it's probably my father's favorite passage. Listen to Acts chapter 4. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God and with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. I don't know who this message is for today, but do not let fear overtake you. Do not let fear rule your life. God has promised us a sound mind, a spirit full of power. And so seek the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Consume the word of God and let love cast out fear in the name of Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. So we close this morning, and I'm not going to keep you very long at all today, but I want to finish with one last story. The story is told that there was once a criminal who had committed a crime because, hey, that's what criminals do, right? Anyway, he was sent to the king for his punishment. And the king told him he had a choice of two punishments. He could be executed by hanging by a rope, or he could take what was behind the big, dark, scary, mysterious iron door. The criminal quickly decided on the rope. And as the noose was being slipped on his neck, he turned to the king and asked, by the way, out of curiosity, what is behind that door? The king laughed and said, you know, it's funny. I offer everyone the same choice, and nearly everyone picks the rope. So, said the criminal, tell me, what is behind the door? I mean, obviously, I won't tell anybody, he said, pointing to the noose around his neck. The king paused and then answered, freedom. But it seems that most people are so afraid of the unknown that they immediately take the rope. Fear keeps us from experiencing the freedom the Lord has for us. Do not let fear keep you from all the Lord has for you. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Would you stand this morning as we close? Lord, help us to be a people that truly understands all you've done for us. Lord, may we give you our whole hearts, every bit of our soul, Lord. May we give it to you, Lord. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart, give you my soul, live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake.